Scott said that we're going to not be able to be here. So we had to have these permissions. And I'm not going to be able to be here Wednesday. And so I just wanted to get permission.
Oh, I see.
Well, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. So I want to stay there. I feel like I should be here.
I don't know.
Hey, will you be a time to
that fourth one didn't come out.
Hey, that's
right.
You're going to be in here? If anybody knows that they're not going to be here in the next class, just mark a cross in the next date. Let me know that you're not going to have just missed it. If you know you're not going to be in the class next time, just mark an X over in the next date class. If you know that you're not going to be in class, next class, we have one more class after this for this semester, mark yourself absent over there so I'll know that you did. We didn't just miss it. If you know you're not going to be. I mean, some of you may have ideas. Somebody told me that they weren't going to be here, that they wouldn't be here. They had made some rings of gold or something. If you do that, it'll help. I mean, just to know that we haven't missed it. Because we will have the roll call next time. But if you're not here, I won't know whether they missed you or whether you're out here. I have also some other papers here. If those of you will get them, somebody perhaps take these and you can see who they do belong to. Caller name, Laura Snyder, right on the top, and there's some others. So pass those back to them. Those are
Laura
material that should just go back to the students. Likewise, these, if somebody will, well, might just as well put them here. These are the last test papers to go back to each one. So So somebody just, two or three of you just take these, divide them out, get them out as fast as we can. They're not that right?
No.
Get a copy of that. There's several back there, and there's some more here. If you need more, I thought there should have been enough of those others. Is Lanny Peterson not here? Last papers you recognize are that first memory test, and you did not, many of you did not put down the questions, therefore I typed them out so you'd have a record of that first group. You can write in what you want to on them as notes. I gave you one in place of one of the others. That is, if you missed one, you could substitute that for. But I also did add a plus to your grade if you got all of them.
Right. So you can change the part. You can divide the point down.
That was on the.
Sorry, it shouldn't. Yeah, because I missed this one. It's actually right.
You missed this one?
Yeah, I got five and a half right on the corner. No, I got all these right. These are all right. 1, 2, 5, correct. The green, I just looking at it, I got a couple of the green is correct, and I didn't know what I was talking about.
So, I think you'll find that problem.
Somebody just took Lanny Peterson's paper. Would you take this one also? Debbie Stone is not here. And if there's any of you can get these to them, I'd appreciate it. The one for Debbie Stone and Bill Ireland. I'm sorry. This is something that I'm supposed to look up for him. Okay. Willis Payton and I can maybe see him. John Gilbert, Mike Brewer, Ken Dalby. We'll get the next class. Pretty close, we will in the next two classes, I believe, be pretty close to our half-year mark in the Psalm. And we will be able, from now on, we will be able to go somewhat faster because all this time you've been accumulating comparative scriptures. So you won't need so many of those anymore, except for this one thing. We always want to reach out of the Psalms as much as possible to get, especially in the New Testament, to find something that refers to those, because so many of those refer to things in the New Testament, and those are the ones that we must yet get. The ones that compare with other Psalms, why, you've got so many of those that you'll just find those all the while. But you're finding more of them all the time. It's good always to get that cross-reference. And we'll be able to move a little faster as we begin to learn more of the Psalm and how we are doing in it. So we are pretty close to where we will be able to get through the Psalms all right. But we want to see how far we can get today. And I think Scott, maybe I have should have a paper here for you. I do have. And also, keep on that.
Gee, that's it.
Is that, what is that? Other papers for you?
Yes.
Now, here's another one. And wait a minute, I'll give you one other one. You didn't get that makeup that I had typed, I believe. On that first song, where they did not write out the answers, I mean the questions, I had them typed up for you with the correct answers, so you'll have a record of them.
Okay. Thank you.
Quick? Yeah. All right, let's turn then to the Psalm. And if at any time you have any questions on these particular ones, of course you've always been asked to bring it up. If there's any question or of any problem of the difficult for you or that you're not getting and want to know, you do that and we'll get it. If you don't say anything about it, assume that you're going along with us. I believe we were in 62. Is that right? About verse 3? Pardon? 3, 4. They only consult to him. We're talking here, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? I gave you scriptures there. A man. You see, that specifies not just men, a certain man, a specific man in mind. Who was it? They couldn't know. They couldn't know, but we know, because now that we're on the other side of the fulfillment of it, we see and know and can understand. But this is against God's man, against God's people, but particularly against the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation and in whom also we have our problems. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. See, it is not he. You remember the scriptures. It is not he in Jeremiah, also in Hosea 5. Not he. See, they don't know him when he comes. John 1. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. They bless God, but inwardly they are against him, because they do not know him nor recognize him. And they oftentimes they come now take it up to date. Many people go to church. They testify sometimes, or they just sing the songs in the church, bless God with the lips, but the heart is far from him in their life. And when they go out, they use his name blasphemously. See, it just doesn't work. Out of the same mouth, Jesus said, come both blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be so. It wasn't Jesus said that, it was James, I guess, that said that. But it's the same thing, it's spirit teaching. Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing. Can't be that way. Just can't be that way. No fountain brings forth sweet water and bitter at the same time. Something wrong. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him only. Notice, my soul, wait thou only upon God. We meet that every once in a while here. That only. Upon God, for my expectation is from him. He is my rock and my salvation. My salvation. There is no other. There is no other way. There is salvation in no other. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's why Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And Jesus taught all these things, and he became the door of the sheep. He became the sheep fold, his fold, the door of the sheep, and the way, the truth, the life, the only way to the Father was in him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, high tower, refuge. I shall not be moved, like a tree that is planted by the waters, in the psalm also. Trust in him at all times. At all times. That all times is important. Trust in him, not just when everything's going well. Trust in him at all times. All times. Even in the fiery furnace. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Because only as you keep in contact with God can he do anything for you. You're not really trusting in him if you don't. we have so many scriptures on these. It might take 42:4 with that. Lamentations 2:19. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely, men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. Men, you see, you can't depend upon men. Men of low degree, they're ungodly, and men of high degree, yet they don't know him. Oftentimes, men, even the priests in office, king, even of Israel. And it was so with them. Even among the Levites, even among their prophets, it came to be so. And he's warning them. Surely, men of low degree are vanity. Man is vain. It is vain to put your trust in man. You remember another scripture. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Not that every man is a liar, but that men cannot be depended upon, only God and His truth. To be laid in the balance, men of Adrian are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They're altogether lighter than vanity. If they were put in the balance, we have all come short of the glory of God. We're all like Belshazzar. We are weighed in the balances and found wanting. It was not just Belshazzar, it was the whole nation. Babylon. Weighed in the balances. You're speaking of those balances which have a counterweight. A weight over here. You put all the material to see how what it's worth over here and see how it balances with the weight. And God has a condition that men must meet in order to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's the weight on this side. Now, you're all that you are, and all that is to your credit in God, with you yourself on the scales with it. You and all you are, or ever have done, or can do, is put on the scale. What happens? As being of weight to show that you are sufficient. And if you have any more, that's over and above for more glory. But otherwise, the scale kicks up like this. You're just so light, it's just nothing. Put all your good works without any faith over here, they won't weigh much. Put everything else that you're able to do without love of God in your heart, it won't weigh anything. It's nothing. Faith. Without the love of God, though I have faith to remove mountains and have not charity, it profits me nothing. It adds nothing to my advantage in weighing up to what God expects of me. That's what the problem there means. That's what it's talking about. The scales lift up. The balances go up. When you're put on the scale, the balances fly up. You don't have any weight with God. You have no character with God. But all men had come short of the glory of God, and that all were vanity, except for the grace of God, and except for the born-again experience, except for our attitude toward God, and then our works by faith. They all count. They all weigh. Every deed, and every man's going to be rewarded according as his works. But not works without faith, they don't weigh anything with God. Only your spiritual works which you've done because to please Him and to serve Him and to keep His commandments, walk in His ways, they all have weight. Works for your own glorification, works for your own self-satisfaction and self-estimation and that sort of thing weigh nothing before God. That's what that verse is telling. Both those verses. Surely men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, They're altogether lighter than valley. The scales kick up. Daniel 5:27, Belshazzar, weighed in the balances, found one. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, and God does increase his people, God did promise to bless his people. Abraham was rich. David was rich. Solomon was rich. Many people of God's time were rich. But if God does bless you, and he will, promise that great blessings would be upon Ephraim and Manasseh and Joseph. That's where his first blessings were. They have the firstborn portion. All those blessings increase your riches spiritually and materially and physically. But set not your heart upon them. Don't set your heart upon them if God does make you rich. If he does give you a good job. If he does prosper you so that you have plenty. If you do have a nice new car. Don't set your heart on those things. Those are all going to perish one of these days. They'll all be gone. He didn't say you couldn't enjoy them. He didn't say you couldn't have them. They had them. God blessed them. But had they set their heart on those things, they've never made the kingdom. Neither will you or me. None of us. God has spoken once. You see his word. In his word. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. It's been preached. You may have heard it. Many preachers preach it. But God has said it. And thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. And thy word is truth, and thy word is everlasting. And it's here. God has spoken once. That's all that's necessary. God says it. But it's spoken, you may have heard it many other times. That power belongeth unto God. Power belongeth unto God. If power belongs unto God and all power is his, and there's nothing impossible with God, as Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me, even as the Son of God. So, all power is also given unto you and to me. We have the resources of heaven if we can reach them. If we can apply it. If you ask anything and believe in your heart. Ask it in my name, according to my word. And believe in your heart, and doubt not, you shall have it. See? I mean, there's just nothing impossible with God. But then we have to go by his word. You just can't ask outlandish things that... if everybody did that, there wouldn't... The whole system would be changed. Wouldn't happen. Have a new heaven and new earth. We would, because men wouldn't ask for the right thing. Now they don't know what to ask for. But this is telling you that all power belongs to God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Because without that, without God's mercy, we would have been sunk a long time ago. Isaiah 1:9, for instance. Malachi 3:6. Revelation 22:12, you see. God has said that he would reward every man according to his works, but his mercy makes a great deal of difference. We'd be lost otherwise. We'd be at Sodom and Gomorrah. We'd been cut off a long time ago. If God hadn't, through his mercy, left a remnant, we'd never even been here at all. And so it is with each one of us. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his works. But for your mercy, we'd never make it. Because we couldn't do this thing by ourselves. We're already in sin. They have all come short. They have all corrupted themselves. They have all sinned and come short. Already. That's the way we find ourselves too when we come to God. We find we're already in it. We find the curse is already upon us. We haven't been redeemed. We haven't been brought back. We haven't been taken out from under it. We have to come to Him, and through His mercy then that makes the difference. Now if we were judged by our works, no man could be saved. No man could be saved. Alone. But when we're judged by our works, but have His mercy, we obtain mercy from God, makes all the difference in the world. Makes all the difference in the world. Sins are taken away.
Yeah, that verse 12, Daniel 9:9.
Okay. Read it to us.
The Lord our God will on mercy unto the citizens, for we have the building.
Very good. So Daniel 9:9.
Yeah.
And Daniel's prayer. Alright. Psalm 63. That's what I tell you. If you read Daniel's prayer and you'll go and read Nehemiah's prayer, it'll do you considerable good. He is confessing for the whole nation in both cases. He is doing what Jesus did. He's confessing for all the people. Jesus in 1:19 is confessing for all the people and in other places too. He's taken their sins upon Himself and He's confessing their sins and asking their forgiveness and calling for deliverance and trusting in God for you. Now, if you'll believe on Him and accept Him and put your trust in Him and accept His mercy, then you have all that He got. You have all that He got. You're in Christ Jesus. O God, 63. Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. That means in my youth. And early in the morning. Every day. My soul thirsteth for Thee. That's what Jesus had in mind when He preached to them there on the mountain. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Satisfied. We sing that song, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Fill up my cup. Feed me till I want no more. That is, not that you don't want it anymore. I mean, you just are satisfied. You're satisfied. When you eat until you just got all you can eat and you're fully satisfied, then you don't want any more. Not right then. You see what I mean? That's what this song tells us. Till I want no more. Not that you don't want it anymore. But in the Psalm 23rd Psalm, now the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The only reason you don't want is because you already got. You don't have to want, you already have it. Alright? My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh lusteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And that's been the cry of the people of God because there has been no water. The word has not been taught, the things of God have not been taught, and then people are hungry for God. They want to know who He is. They don't know that everything is so confusing. But their soul cries out, and not only their soul, but their very flesh cries out. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain, Paul says, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. My soul and my flesh. We're in trouble. We're sick. We're bothered. We're weak. We're tired. We're frustrated. We're confused. Our flesh cries out for God. Lots of people wouldn't cry out for God except for their flesh. That's why we have divine healing also, is because people in their flesh, if they won't call upon God because of their soul hunger and thirst, they'll call upon Him because of their flesh need. And then God gets to them. But it's a whole lot better if we'll seek Him first with our soul and then bring all of our needs to Him. Isaiah 44:3, John 7:37, 38, many more that you can think of yourself. To see thy power, my soul thirsteth and my flesh longeth to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary. There was a time when Israel saw the power of God. They rejoiced in it. They saw his glory. They worshiped before him. They saw the manifestation of his divine presence, and their soul was thrilled and filled, and they feared and loved and served him because they saw his great power. But there came a time, and that's what he's prophesying of also, that there would be times when there would be a dry, thirsty land, and you can look for the word of God and won't find it. They'd be running from one city to another seeking the word of God and won't find it. There have been many places in the history of the world, even since Christ, and that condition has existed and does exist in many, many places and many churches. Right today, you can't find it. Can't find it. People are hungering, thirsting, dying, starving to death. Because the word is not there, that living word, that water of life. But I long to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Wonderful, but now dried up. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, more necessary than your daily food, you see. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You see, that is faith in God. I'll lift, when I pray, I'll do it in thy name. Because whatsoever you ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Now, you just can't use Jesus' name as a handle or a passport or a ticket or a coupon. The wicked tried to do that. The sons of Sceva tried to do that. They used the name of Jesus. We adjure you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Come out of him. He did. But not a thing. But you see, you can't approach God. You come to him in the name of his son, because if you are in Christ, if you come in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, he recognizes you as Jesus, the Son of God. You're a member of his body. Doesn't make a difference whether your hand reaches out to him, or whether your mouth speaks to him, or whether your ear is open to him. It's all a member of the body. You see what I mean? And David, when he went out to meet Goliath, he didn't go out there, I come to you in the name of his family, or the name of David, or the name of my slingshot, or the name of the stone in it. It was the stone in it, maybe. Because it typified somewhat that. But if you come to him in his name, recognizing that you are a member of the body of Christ, he hears you as his own son. If you're not in Christ, he can't hear you no matter what name you use. Just like the sons of Sceva couldn't, because they were not in Christ. They didn't have access to his name. He'd never given them the authority to use his name. And they were not part of the body of Christ. God couldn't hear them. God couldn't hear them. I will lift up my hands in thy name. 1 Samuel 17:45. I think that's perhaps David. My soul shall be satisfied that I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That made all the difference. That made all the difference where the stone went. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, as in Song of Solomon 3:1, upon my bed I sought him, you remember? And then they arose and sought him, eventually found him. But that's the problem. If we go out to the wrong place looking for him, it'll take us quite a while to find him oftentimes, and we'll have a lot of trouble in between trying to find him. But once we get to him and hold him fast, That makes us cherubim in His sight. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. That means you're pressing in. Jesus said, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and all men presseth into it. Strive therefore to enter in, for many shall seek to enter in, but shall not be able. It takes more than just seeking. It takes striving. Be diligent, therefore, to make your calling and election sure, up on your toes. See? Diligent. Strive to enter in. Many shall seek to enter in, shall not be it. Many will join the church. Many will raise their hand or sign a card. Lots of people do that. Shall not find it, Jesus said. My soul followeth hard after thee. My heart panteth after thee as a heart panteth after the water brooks. Real hunger and thirst for God. You press in. You press in. You don't say, well, He knows where I live. If He wants me, He can find me. No, you don't get God that way. If He wants to give me the Holy Ghost, He knows where I live. Here I am. He can give it to me anytime He wants. Oh, no, you don't get it that way. I'm really surprised that so many people get it easy as they do now, but I'm beginning to understand why more and more all the time. Why? Why that years ago men had to really get before God and cry to get this Holy Spirit. They had to spend time before God. They had to really pray and search God's Word to get it. And now they're getting it so easy, and it's been a marvel to me because it turned so quick. I mean, it changed so fast. Then I remembered Peter going down to House Cornelius. See, the difference is because God's been dealing with people. Now, the people are people who are from every nation. They're from all nations, kindred, tongue, and people. They're out. They're not all just Israel now. They're not all just those that were cast off back there and are being brought back. They're not all that. These are coming from all nations. People from all people. They're coming. What happens? What happened down there at the House of Cornelius? Different than it was with the others. They had to tarry until. You remember? Tarry until. They prayed and prayed, waited and waited and prayed. Finally, out of here comes. See, just like God said. Well, that's what He wanted to do. But here was a different circumstance. When He opened the door to Gentiles, they didn't have what the others had. All they had to. They wanted to know God and serve God and all of that, and the others just think that they had to do it the way they did it, and God just poured down upon them. They didn't have the background. They didn't have the same circumstance. All they had to do was believe what He said, and God gave it to them like that. And that's what's happening today. So many people, because your background, your family's a lot of time, and part of your family maybe, you know, from other nations that were outside of Israel. They just weren't in Israel. God doesn't care in that respect. All He wants is your heart. They were all God's people to begin with when they came out of the ark. And when He first started out with them, He wants your heart. And I begin to see that that's what's happening again. Peter was preaching always before to the Jews. And therefore they had to go by God's word. See, and have everything according to the pattern. They had to do these things the way God said, because there is a pattern, and it still should be observed as far as possible. When it comes to these others, and when it comes to just getting them in, they can't go through all this others. It takes too long. And we haven't any much time left now. God pouring out His Holy Spirit, He's not asking very much of you. Just believe. Just have a heart for God. I'm not demanding a whole lot of you in these tests. Your heart is the thing I'm after. Just your willingness to grasp truth when it comes. Your willingness to search for it and hunger for it and look for it and reach out to it. That's the thing that counts. That's the thing. Growth. Just some growth. Some progress. You see? Learning. Knowing. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. Not whether everything's exactly according to the letter. It's according to whether you're growing in God, whether you're getting in, whether you're getting hold of Him, whether you're learning the truth or not. Because we have to learn the truth. It's being revealed all the while, and especially now. And there'll be more fast. You better be awake, because things are happening fast now. You've missed a lot of things if you're not open now to what's happening in all over the world. In touch with God. And His Word. Study it. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But thou, those that seek my soul to destroy it, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. And he means they'll be lost. He means they just can't be in the kingdom of God. Ezekiel 32:24. Ephesians 4:9, just to go with that, just to start. They shall fall to the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. What he's saying there is their carcasses shall be meat for the beasts and the fowls of the air, just like it says in many other places, just like it was for some of them back there, and just like it will be back up here when Jesus comes again. He's going to give their carcasses again to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. But the king shall rejoice in God. The king shall rejoice in God. The king? He didn't say the kings. Oh, you mean just David? No, not just David. But the king shall rejoice in God. Luke 10:21 gives you a picture of it. And we are all to be made kings and priests unto God. We'll all rejoice in that day. If you don't think so, read Revelation 4:5-9. They all rejoice in God. Look at that scripture there that I just gave you. Well, Luke 10:21. There was a king that came, and he came according. Israel or Judah. Neither Israel nor Judah had any kings after God cast them off back then. Had no king. But there came a king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And he was of the direct line of all those kings of Judah, was he? Direct line. He was heir then to the throne, wasn't he? He was absolutely fit for the throne because he came right down by the direct order of line. Except for this one thing, he was legally the son of Joseph, and even coming through Mary, he came through Jeconiah, Jehoiakim, and therefore was not to sit upon the throne of David in the earth. That's the only reason, you see. He couldn't be the king on the earth. Because God had told him that no man of this seed shall sit. So, as the flesh, after the flesh, Jesus could not sit upon the throne of Israel. But as the king of Israel, he will sit upon the throne of David. He will. Not in Jerusalem, but where God meant for him to be, and on that everlasting throne. Everlasting throne. But Jesus could not sit there because he was out. You see, that's another proof that Jesus will not sit over in Jerusalem on a throne. That's in the earth. And God's word had said that no man shall ever sit upon that throne that's of this seed of Cornel. And Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, after the flesh, because that's the way he was, the only way he was a man, cannot sit upon a fleshly throne in this earth. But he will sit on his heavenly throne, as we see in Revelation 4 and other places where he's manifested being sitting on the throne. All right? Luke 10:29. I didn't get to that. I wish I had more time to talk to you about these things as they come to me. We get more understanding. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. There the king rejoiced. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. When they stand before him in judgment, he's the judge, every tongue shall be dumb, every mouth shall be stopped. Every knee shall bow. Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongues, whet their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, to tell you what the arrows are. Bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Those that are perfect, those that are in Christ. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. All of them, but they did that also in Luke 23:39-40. Right there on the cross, one of those thieves railed upon Christ. Railed upon. Shout at him. If you are the Christ, if you are the Christ, save us. They weren't pleading with him to do it. They were just railing upon him. They were denying that he was the Christ, but throwing out a challenge to him, like the priests and those that crucified him. If thou be the Son of God, come down, we'll believe you. See, that same kind of thing. Suddenly they shoot at him. In his misery, in his helplessness, and there, while he is paying the penalty for their sins, extending mercy for them. So that even those who crucify him, if they will now believe, can accept his mercy and benefit by what he suffered, even at their hands. Perfect. He is the perfect one. He's the perfect one. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privately. You know how they did that. Went even to the Herodians and consulted as to how they might take him, kill him, crucify him, get rid of him. They say, who shall see him? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is very deep. Their iniquity goes very deep. It's right in the very depths of their heart. That's the reason they're not his. That's the reason they cannot know it. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. That's his word. His word. Destroy them by the word of his mouth and the breath of his lips. I could give you a lot of others. By this time you ought to know those verses in scriptures and look them up for yourself. I'm pointing you to them. So they shall make their... But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Jesus says, your own words will condemn you in that day. Your own words. And my words that I speak will condemn you because you didn't hear them. But your own words will condemn you. With their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Those things that they said to him at the cross are going to rise up against them in the judgment. Everything that they did against him is going to stand before them there in the judgment. Against them. Against them. So shall they make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. Scripture tells you the time will come when every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess to God. And confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Yahweh, to the glory of Yahweh the Father. It is not He, they said. It is not He. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. The words are not mine, but His that sent me. He that seeth me seeth not me, but Him that sent me. You've both seen and hated both me and my Father, and you didn't know. You didn't know either one of us. You don't know the Son, and you don't know the Father. You don't know the Messiah. You don't know the Savior. You don't know the Redeemer. You don't know God. Therefore you shall perish. The righteousness shall be glad in the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him. Psalm 2, 9 and 12 again. I don't have it here, but it just come to me now. I could give you others like Psalm 32, 11. 58:10, 68:3. I've been passing up a lot of them because we haven't got time for them. The righteous should be glad in the Lord and trust in Him. Just listen to what you're hearing and get it deep in your heart, and it'll always be there. Hide it in your heart and it'll always be there. Put it in your notebook, you can easily forget it. Put it in your heart and you'll always have it. Shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Our time is about all up. But, pardon? You ready for the next one?
No, I say back up and pick up the scriptures you passed.
Oh, all right. Let's see. Now, I've been passing them all the way through here. Okay, we're going to have to go a long way along. When I get some come right to me, I'll give them to you. An awful lot of them we're going to have to pass up. We just can't do it because time won't allow it. You can see it doesn't allow it. We're not getting there, see? But you get them. You get them. When you study that, when you read it, you get them. That's part of your assignment. I'm not checking up on your assignment. I can't. You're the loser, not me, if you don't look them up. Take a look at Mary in Luke. Take a look at Mary's genealogy. She was lonely. She was only Jeconiah. Both of them hit Jeconiah and right on back. Both of them hit David.